Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Arena Vincent back up in here. Arena of Life podcast. Doing what you gotta do. New episode. Like I said, I try to put an episode out once a month, so we'll do it. It's gonna be I'll be in shortly over a month soon. July 4th weekend. In a week, I dropped the episode. So I was a little bit behind. So, you know, it happens. It happens, y'all. It happens. But we are back. It's basically the end of July. Like I said, I like doing them once a month. If you don't know, sorry, it's a broken record. If you do know, I appreciate y'all listening. Again, you know, I know sometimes it's a broken record. It could be a broken record. But let me just fix this real quick. It's all good. This is looking at my GPS real quick. And journey with me. And what I want to talk, it's funny, you know what I mean? Because like I had some stuff I wanted to talk about. I was like, oh man, I got to make this podcast. I got to, as soon as I go to work tomorrow or as soon as I get into the car. I haven't yet done a podcast like in my house, you know, or like with the whole mindset of like, who cares, let's just do this, you know, to me. And like, you know what, no, I want to be I want to listen, I want to do my podcast like where I can control the environment or whatever you want to say. Like, I'll just be by myself, you know. I don't want nobody, like, you know, I don't want to hear background noise. I don't want to hear like, you know, it's just weird like that. And that goes with the videos too, man. Been dropping indoor football league playoff pick prediction videos the whole month of July. And that's my thing, man. I keep trying to drop these one videos a week. And I'm like, bro, I'm not a fucking, like, established YouTuber guy. You know what I mean? Not like some well-known personality. It's like, oh, man, that's that YouTuber guy, man. You know? And, so that's the thing. It's like, you can't be doing that. You got to be able to continue to do what you're doing consistently. Wrong thing. I keep clicking on. There you go. Got to be continuing what you're doing consistently, you know. And and the funny thing is, I do got stuff to make content, i.e. I do got packages I can unopen and talk about my baseball card collection and all that. So it's not like I don't have content to make or content to create. It's just, I don't know, man. Every time it's like this fucking roadblock, this speed bump where it's like, yeah, I want to do this. And then like when it comes time to do it, it's like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another day. Because then you look at, and I know it's like, gonna be, oh, great, this fool's going to be talking about time again. What are you going to do with your spare time? What about this and that? No, I mean, I'll mention time, but it's not going to be the same thing. I already know where you guys are headed. It's like, oh, this fool's talking about, you know, what are you going to do with your spare time, be productive and all that. No, you can do whatever the hell you want to do with your time. And I'm talking about your time, not work-related or anything like that. Or and then I get it. If you're a parent, you got to take your kids to school. You got to watch your kids. You got to make sure your kids are entertained as well, you know. Or, I mean, you can be the one that lets them play games or whatever, be on a computer, be on the fucking tablet all day, whatever works. I ain't tripping, you know. So I get it, because the kids got to be entertained and stuff. You got to make sure the kids are okay, feed the kids, make sure they go to sleep or all that bullshit. So I'll talk about on your free time if you ever get free time, you know. Or if you are single and living a single life, no kids, nothing to worry about. Maybe live with the family still, or you live on your own. You know, the free time that you get, and I get it. Like I said, some people love to watch YouTube. I mean, love to watch, yeah, fuck it. They love to watch YouTube. They love to watch, you know, Hulu, Netflix, all the fucking streaming services that are out there, all the bootleg streaming services that are out there. You know what I mean? Whatever works, and I ain't tripping. I really ain't tripping off that. And then some people say, like, oh, the bootleg shit's not cool because they don't get, man, the fucking big studios, as of right now, are not even paying motherfuckers for the streams they get anyway. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, the whole writer's strike and you know, the actor's striking too, I think, or whatever. I get all that, man, but that shit's always, it's something like, oh man, these motherfuckers get paid decent money when they're on a project, I guess. I don't fucking know. So I can't really talk about it. I don't want to, I mean, I kind of feel like, to me, big corporations, i.e. Walt Disney, WB, I mean, WB, they had a merger with, what, Discovery and shit like that. So, you know, all the big-ass fucking corporations that make movies and stuff like that, they know what they're doing. They know what's in the contracts and all that. And like I said, you know what? Speaking of that shit, let's go into talks about great sports talk. You know what? Let's talk about sports real quick. As you know, it is July 31st. So, as you know, over the weekend, if you're not paying attention to sports that much, or if you're paying attention to football, of course, the NFL, everybody's gonna talk about the NFL all the time, no matter what. NFL is supposedly king in the sports world, and that's because the fans like football. There's more football fans than, I guess, more than anything else. I don't fucking know. Or whatever. Or more, you get more reaction out of football fans than baseball fans or whatever. To me, I like all the sports. I like football, basketball, baseball. Hockey's cool too. I'm not like, I don't know like every player on my teams that I love to root for, but I know my team and I'm gonna root for. You know what I mean? But as you know, I guess Jonathan Taylor, or I guess Jim Irsay, says some Jim Irsay is a fucking a owner of the Indianapolis Colts. And Jim Irsay, he's a real fine character, this dumb motherfucker. This is the same motherfucker that was caught, what? Caught pulled over by police. Well, he had a bunch of fucking drugs in his fucking car and a bunch of money. You know what I mean? He's a rich guy, white guy. So, of course, that motherfucker got off scot-free. Well, what did the fucking league do? Suspend him for 7 games or 8 games where he couldn't go and then had to go to rehab and shit like that. You know what? See, these motherfuckers are rich, right? Rich white guy. And this happens to all y'all motherfuckers. I don't give a fuck. It's not gonna generalize rich white guys. But some of these motherfuckers get this midlife crisis shit, or some of them never had, never grow up, and they keep doing the dope. You know what I mean? All these pills this motherfucker had in his car and shit like that. Drunk driving too, as far as I believe, allegedly, because I don't know, I don't remember all the charges he got charged with. Motherfucker got suspended by the league for 8 games or whatever. Slap on the wrist bullshit, you know, because commissioner, how the fuck is a commissioner of football gonna commission an owner that he works for? You know what I mean? That's like the owner of a company hiring HR people, you know, and then saying, "Hey man, why you policing me?" You know? But I get it, but it's stupid. Anyway, I guess he said some shit about like, I guess he didn't like the fact that these running backs are trying to like, you know, have all these meetings about making money, because like a lot of running backs are not getting offered a lot of money no more. You know, what happened to Saquon Barkley, basically getting a franchise tag, even though he didn't want to get franchise tagged, he eventually got franchise tagged in a way, I guess, or something like that. Or he took a deal that wasn't that much money, but he'll have his freedom sooner or some shit like that. I don't fucking know. Whatever. But like, according to the sports radio guys, it wasn't that great of a deal, and eventually it's just equivalent to being a franchise tag. And the problem with the franchise tag is what it does is it forces you to stay with that organization. They'll still pay you money, but I forget, they pay you like the average of all the running backs or whatever, the highest paid running back and the lowest paid running back. They give you decent money, you know, for the most part. But I don't think it's guaranteed money. And I think in the NFL, a lot of these players are realizing that they need guaranteed money, because if they get hurt, they ain't get shit unless the owners are nice. And we already know these motherfucking businessmen ain't nice. And if you're not a good player or fan friendly, the fans, if the fans hate you ain't gonna get no sympathy from the fans either. And that's the truth. Because I guess supposedly Jonathan Taylor, he wants a certain amount of money on Twitter that I saw. And somebody already, a Colts fan already said, "Oh, I don't think so, Jonathan Taylor. Your agent's a clown because you got hurt last year." Blah, blah, blah. I was like, damn, these motherfuckers, like, it's basically all you can do in this game of football, I think. I'm not a professional football player. I've never been around the environment. I tried out for Arena Football League. So, you know, I've been around some of those coaches. But that was it. And so that's and the only thing I know, I didn't play college football or junior college or anything like that. So only thing I know is how they do things in high school football. And to me, high school football, or the high school I went to, and the coaches that ran the program that I at the time, I think it was more of, if you got talent, even no matter what level, of course, you're a freshman, they may not put you with the seniors or varsity, but if you're that good, you might be able to dress out with varsity, you know, the highest top, or, you know, and that's that, or maybe towards the end of the season, depending on that, how the season went, you'll go play some varsity games or whatever. So, to me, it was all about the talent, you know? And of course, the person that grades to maintain playing the football and shit, all that shit, bullshit that counted. So, to me, in this world, if this tells all these guys who are playing football, and I get it, these motherfuckers making millions of dollars. But remember, the lifestyle some of these motherfuckers live, sometimes they live above the means of what they make. You know what I mean? And so, or they think they need certain things, or they want certain things, and that's the way they want to live. And I get it. You earn it, because if you are an athlete, professional athlete, we think they get days off. They probably do. They can chill for maybe a week, 2 weeks, you know, not working out, not doing their crazy regimens that they do, just chilling with the family, eating, you know, doing what they want to do, celebrations and all that. But once it gets kicked into their head, hey, we got to practice, we got to eat right, or whatever the fuck they do, I think most athletes try to stick to that because they need to stay in shape and all that shit, you know? So, to me, I get it's a year-round thing to a point, but they make enough money to hire a personal trainer, have to keep somebody to keep them on track, you know what I mean? So, with that being said, to me, it's just, and then I guess, how it went down, I guess Jim Irsay also said that, what did he say? He said that, oh, we both died today, nobody's going to miss us. You know what I mean? So I guess interpretation of that means like, hey, if you get cut from the team or you get traded, no one's going to miss you anyway. You know what I mean? This and that. And that cracks me up because I get what he's saying, man. That goes for all corporations. That goes for big businesses. That goes for medium business and small business. And I get it. You might have a picture on the wall because everybody liked you, or you're a good worker, you know, or you've been there so long that everybody knew who you were, type of shit. But at the end of the day, though, Jonathan Taylor's only been in the league, what, 2 years or 3 years already? I forget. 3 or 4 years? I forget. And I get sometimes that's the thing. That's why the best thing, I think, and I know it's not guaranteed. That's the scary part. And that's the scary part. That's why I think a lot of these athletes, no matter what sport now. I mean, I get baseball and basketball, it's all guaranteed money, so it doesn't matter. But, like, in football, I get why these guys want more years and somewhat guaranteed money. Because at the end of the day, you know, most of the time when you're playing a sport, a physical sport, you know your body will deteriorate no matter what. Will get nicked up, banged up, injured, hurt. And the older you get, I mean, the more in shape you are, good. The more in shape you are, that's good, because then your body can recover. Your body can take the hits and all that shit. But, as I would say, is you start to deteriorate. So that's why some of these fools want, like in baseball. Baseball's a classic. Baseball, you know, you give these guys these big-ass contracts, 12 years, 13 years, everybody jokes around that this motherfucker's going to be old and used and not as productive. And the back half of this contract. And they know that already. But they do it anyway. And for the most part, it does show. It does show. I've seen Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers. He's still somewhat productive, even though after he got caught, you know, doing the PEDs and all that shit. But he was somewhat productive. But, you know, got to give him rest. And then, like, Miguel Cabrera. Look at Mickey of Detroit Tigers. He's, you know, they only play in one series. They only play in one game of series now. And he's going to retire, man. I'll keep it real. If I'm a player, and, you know, I'll say, hey, motherfucker, I know it's my last season. I want to be a team player, but I'm fucking playing every game. You can either start me every game, or you can put me in as a pinch hitter and a defensive replacement every game. You know what I mean? Not just getting one at bat. Nah, because that shit doesn't work. You know what I mean? That's the way I'll do it. Because to me, like, these guys are getting – they don't even play that much no more, man. But I, you know, that's what I would do. But I get it. Sometimes they're just there. They get to collect their money that's on their contract. They're grateful the team still kept them, didn't DFA them, then, you know, then send them down or didn't waive their contract. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, Miguel Cabrera, he's a Hall of Famer, World Series champion for Florida Marlins. So, you know, he got a triple crown winner as well. So he got his money. So I get that. So, but to me, the reason why I'm bringing all this up is because I'll just take one-year deals, man. I'll just take one-year deals. Give me fucking decent money, one-year deals or two-year deals at the most. That's it. Because it seems like all these bitch-ass owners want to do is get the next rookie, which is fine. I ain't mad at you. Because at one time, I would have been a rookie, right? If I played football and I came out of college and I was decent enough to make it, I would have been a rookie. And, of course, I want playing time. That's what a rookie wants. All the rookie wants, they're going to get their rookie contract. That's all they're going to get. And all the rookie wants is playing time. So they can prove to them why they deserve more money or why they can get asked for more money, because they can prove to them too, i.e. Scouts, fucking, you know, the front office, whoever's team that they, or just get tape. So they have a lug tape so they can send to all the teams and say, hey, guys, check me out, or whatever the fuck how that process works, you know? And so just take these 1 to 2 year deals, man. I know it's not smart. I think it doesn't, who does it hurt the most? I think it hurts the player most, because the player doesn't have a good year, or the player gets hurt, or are you going to fucking go? My bad. If the player gets hurt or doesn't have a good year, then it's like, oh, fuck, he fucked himself, right? Because then next year, people are like, oh, no, man, you got hurt. I'm just going to offer you whatever, like $1 million or $2 million instead of the $5 million you want. You're going to take it or leave it, you know? And then, like, it's funny that, like, this whole quote-unquote collusion owners say they don't do. Come on, bro, motherfucker. And I get it. Not all the owners get along with each other, you know, because that's the problem with the alpha motherfuckers. And like I said, it goes down all the way to, like, normal work. Like I said, I used to work, do security at a, this is just, like, for an example. I did security at, like, this auto auction, insurance auto auction. Basically, all the cars that get written off or getting insurances in a total amount, or they, you know, whatever reason, they just don't want them. They don't want to fix them, or can't fix them, or feel like fixing them is not worth it, or whatever. They sell them at this auto auction. I think it was Mercury Auto Auction or State Farm, one of the two. Well, anyway, man, there's a section in the middle. I think I talked about this on the podcast before. So if I did, sorry. If you did listen to it, thank you. And but this is going for the alpha male type motherfuckers, or boss motherfuckers, you know? Right? And there's a middle section where the cars that run, they get put in the middle because they actually do turn on, and they're gonna put them through the showcase. So they, after the outdoor auction happens, where the cars that don't run are all fucked up and shit, they have a showcase where the cars that do drive, they kind of push you, drive them through. Sometimes they need like four motherfuckers to push the car through. Some cars don't start after a while, all sorts of shit. But they'll push them through because those cars can sell a little bit more. Because remember, all these owners of these places either own like car dealerships that know how to fix them up, scrappers, guys who are going to scrap them, fucking take all the parts out, scrap the motherfucker. So all that shit. So it's all the owners, business owners, or representatives of businesses, you know, carry cash, a lot of fucking money, or to use credit cards, you know? And so, but these dumb motherfuckers, there's a time limit where you can check out the cars that drive, you know, where you can check out the middle section. There's a time limit. You can't, you know, after that time limit, after I think it was like 8:30, or something like that, or 8:45, the people who run the auto auction say, hey, close it down. Nobody can be looking at these cars anymore. So, you know, and every time, we literally had to hire more security or get extra guys just to make sure motherfuckers don't go looking in there. And then when you tell them, hey, man, you can't look in there. Oh, okay. You know, the motherfuckers, like, you know, there's some motherfuckers, Spanish-speaking motherfuckers, so, you know, they would act like they don't understand English, or no habla English, or didn't understand English that well, and then you can tell them in Spanish too, and then they'll be, you know, they'll try to talk, but I don't speak Spanish that great, so I didn't communicate in Spanish, you know? And the reason why I bring this up, because these alpha motherfuckers just didn't like to be told what to do, especially from somebody who's not the boss. We would always have to mention, I think Joe was one of, like, the supervisors, or the guy who ran this. So, hey, Joe said, you can't be back there, man, you can't be there. You want me to tell Joe, you know, whoever. I think his name was Joe, but it could be not. And you know, we always had to mention the boss or go tell the boss. And even the boss would say, hey, if any guys giving you problems, let me know, try to identify them. And then we'll fucking just tell them they can't come back here, you know, or this, the business is not welcome, you know? So it was always like one of those. And I bring that up because like alpha people are like that, like bosses, they get all weird. It's like, man, just shut the fuck up. These motherfuckers are like your work. Like we are like, and we don't work for you, but we're like your worker. So do you want somebody to harass your worker or give your worker a hard time so that they can come bug you some more, you know? So that's why these motherfuckers be always like, oh, taking their time, fucking like trying to sneak under there. Even when we tell them, hey, it's closed already, can't go out, everybody out. Motherfuckers be walking. We would actually have to physically walk up to them and tell them, hey, you can't be in here, this and that. And then during the auction, sometimes when everybody's attention's over there at the first car all the way like in two lanes down or whatever, these motherfuckers will still try to be sneaking up in there. You know, it's funny. But that was just bringing up an example of like that boss type mentality type people, you know, that don't like to be told what to do, especially from people who are, they don't think is equal to them or shit like that. But then that's how your business works too, dumb fuck. So I don't get it. Can't you be the common courtesy of helping businesses? Because that's the way businesses flow, right? You know, like, you know, if you go to a restaurant, the general manager is not greeting you all the time. He might be, he or she might be, right? But they're not there seating you, or they might. But, like, it's just like a whole, we got to fall, we fall in line, correct? But I get it, a restaurant's different, you know, so it's all mixed, but I try to bring that example up, but I get it. Maybe you didn't connect, but, so these owners don't get along, but I still think they do collude. And I think to me, it's, and that's why, like, a lot of, like, the public perception of football players or sports athletes, oh, they're greedy. All they want is more money. They can't survive. Again, sports athletes is not a regular job. It's not Joe. Remember Joe the Plumber bullshit? Like fucking John McCain and fucking President Obama kept bringing up Joe the Plumber. It's not a plumber's job, bro. So we can't compare it to our regular lives. And I hate that we do because we're trying to relate. It's not. And I talked about this before in another podcast. I talked about this, that we are not going to get sponsored. Maybe there's a good plumber, a plumber that's like out there that got sponsorships from plumbing fucking tools and shit because he's that good or that company's that good, whatever. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You're not getting sponsored, bro. Not fucking getting fucking, oh, who's the MV plumber of the fucking year this year, you know? And that's the thing that kind of cracks me up, that these people act like this. It's not like our job. And that's the truth. These motherfuckers do live above their means sometimes. You know, they rolling with their nice cars, right? They're leasing or trying to own. Or maybe they pay cash for their car. Maybe they pay. But some of these dumb motherfuckers, no offense, I'm going to keep it real. That's just my opinion. Okay, this is my opinion about when you buy expensive ass shit. Some of these dumb motherfuckers are buying cars that they don't need to buy. I get it. They want that car. That's their dream fucking car. My dream car, Ford Pinto. I looked them up at eBay like last year. $7,000 for a Ford Pinto white Ford Pinto. I forget what state it's in, but it's like $8,000 basically. A motherfucker tell you, and I paid $8,000 for that. And be like, motherfucker, why'd you pay $8,000 for a Ford Pinto? Because that's one of my dream cars. I like. So I get it. But these motherfuckers are paying like $150,000 for a car, you know. So then you got to ask yourself, you're paying $150,000 for a car. Don't come at me saying, hey, you need money now, you know, because it's not a common expense. What they did was kind of overspend, but that's what they wanted. So they got the money at the time to do it, but they live a different lifestyle. And there's motherfuckers that don't, like Chad Ochocinco. He's a prime example. He don't buy expensive watches. He'll buy bootleg shit. Or he'll buy cheap shit. Because remember, he asks you. The funny thing he always does, he asks all the time, he's like, you know, what time is it? And the guy tells him, oh, it's 3:30. How much did that cost me? It was free. To get the time is free. It's on our phones, too. I mean, we got phones. Most people carry cell phones or a phone. So, and literally, if they really need the time, I get, oh, if you're by yourself, you're not going to know, and nobody's around, and your phone's dead, how do you know what time it is? I get that part. But what he means is, like, why are you buying all this flashy shit for? You know, shit that, and then jewelry too, it diminishes in value unless you're some famous person. But are you going to get face value for it? Like, you pay, like, some of these rapper motherfuckers paying all this money for chains and shit in the world. But then we go, like, you can't police them. You can't tell somebody how to spend their money. Not in America. Not in the rural, you know, you can't do that. This is, you know, our freedom. And I get that, you know, more power to you. And that's the shit that pays out. But that, at the end of the day, sports entertainment is an entertainment business. These owners, some of these fucking owners are in it for the money, and they can't be bullshitting us. They can't be lying that they're not. Because if they didn't give a fuck, and then it was all about winning, like, to the extreme, like, fucking fuck the business. As long as everybody in the organization is getting paid, that means everybody. Fucking workers, all that. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go over the fucking luxury tax and get the best fucking players. I'm going to play the salary cap. Fuck the salary cap. And we're going to go for fucking winning every fucking year. You know? But they don't. Because these motherfucking owners be like, oh, man, I don't want this to cost me so much money. And these cheap motherfuckers, you know, don't want to pay. And I get it, because it is a risk. Like, if you pay somebody so much money, guarantee it, guess what? You have to pay them all that money, or else you can get sued and all that shit, you know? You're going to get sued. You're going to get fucking told, hey, motherfucker, you owe me 30 grand, 30 million. Regardless if I played for your team or not, I got hurt. I couldn't come back, and I couldn't play. I couldn't be the player I was, so I retired. I want my 30 million. It's guaranteed. So I get it. So they're going to protect themselves. That's what it's about. That's why, like, I laugh, but I get it, man. These players, like, as a player, I look at it. Again, I'm not a player. I don't know what the experience is. I'm not going to go through that. So I can't say I know how it is. But I get some of these players that crack me up that they're so cool with the owner now. Oh, I love my owner. He's like, I get that. They pick you. They pay you. But at the end of the fucking day, you're not the family, bro. You're not. And I get there's a boss. And being, like I said, about the team owners and being friends of the team owners and all that. I get it, you know. To each their own. But at the end of the day, reason why, for the most part, like I said, I got to emphasize this because I want some motherfucker to be like, oh, well, this dumb motherfucker doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course, there's a player relationship, and football as a career is different from a regular job, you know, because at football as a regular job, you can look at it like a regular job. That means the owner is like the owner of the business or the CEO, you know, and a lot of people. Common wise, like if you're in a common level or entry level job, you're not really going to be friends with the CEO unless the CEO is like that, you know. But like wherever you go, just now I'm going to get totally off topic. Wherever you go, like it's just a funny thing. Like I worked retail before, and again, a football profession, playing a professional sport is not like a regular job. We all got to understand that. We can treat it like that. We can try to relate it like that, but it's not, you know. Because this is based, in a way, you can say, oh, isn't it based off of performance? No, because you can have a shitty game. You can have a shitty week. How you can even have a shitty month. Let's talk about baseball right now. Major League Baseball, that is. There's guys who have a shitty month. They're always in the lineup, maybe. Or depending on how many plate appearances they get or how often they are in the starting lineup. You know, so that's why some of these guys catch breaks. Because they're not in the lineup every day. So when they are shitty or not doing well, they don't get as much harshness because they got, well, this guy's only been in the lineup like 3 days out of the week, you know, or three, you know, he was only in the starting lineup 7 days, seven times out of the whole month, you know, whatever. Or 10 times of the whole month. We got to cut him some slack, you know. So in a way, it is performance. And that brings me back to arbitration and how the arbitration works. It cracks me up how arbitration works to me. Because, like, basically, a team, you know, a player feels like, hey, I'm worth this much. And a team will argue to the arbitrator or whoever, however that works, that, hey, he's not really worth this. This is how much this is, like, what he costs us. This is like he's, you know, it's funny because they're going to point out all your flaws, which I get it. You know, there's nothing wrong with constructive criticism at all. If you can take the constructive criticism and grow with it, but it becomes a time and point when a team is just being a cheap ass team, they don't want to pay. That's the whole point. They want to use your talent and not pay you. And of course, they're going to say, "Oh, he hasn't helped us get us to a championship. He hasn't helped us get us to a championship. He hasn't helped us get us to win a title. He hasn't won the pennant like in baseball, whatever, you know. Not even National League champions, you know." And then they try to point out all the bad shit, what you don't do right, what you don't do good, what you can improve on, and what's a risk factor or whatever. And it's, to me, this is a joke, but I get it, you know. That's like going, and that's why I say it's not like a regular job, because imagine you're in a review, but most reviews do that. Most jobs, for the most part, they're trying not to give you a fucking dollar raise. They don't want to give you a dollar raise. Especially if the business, quote unquote, is staying the same. But you tell me, how is it fair that multiple companies, i.e. Walmart, i.e. Target, i.e. grocery stores, during the whole pandemic time, had record profits, correct? As far as I know, I mean, I could be wrong. You can fact check, but any company that did have record profits, how did they treat their employees? You know? So, but going back to it, you know, owners don't want to pay you. What owners want to do is use your talent to help them win a championship. They will pay you what they think is fair in their mind. Because owners don't want to get left with the bill. They don't want to get left with, hey, I don't want to pay this guy $6.5 million. I want to pay him only $3 million. Oh, I don't even want to pay this guy the league minimum, even though he's worth more than that. And you're cracking up with this whole analytics. That's why a lot of these owners love the analytics. For the most part, or they just let their GM, or these GMs love the analytics. Because analytics will sometimes take guys out of the lineup. If this guy is on fire, i.e. the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, I'm not a Brewers fan, so I ain't going to be dumping on him. But fucking Craig Counsell, man, he's a great manager. He has most wins in franchise history for the Brew Crew. I've been a fan since he got hired. That's when I declared. A little bit before, when Ron Renicki was still the manager there, I said, you know, I'm going to root for the Brewers. And Ron Renicki got fired, and, you know, I still stuck with them. Win or lose, good and bad, contenders, not contenders. The Brew Crew is cool with me. So the three teams I root for in the Major League Baseball. And, but sometimes this has a habit, like not keeping guys in a damn lineup. Guys who are on fire, he'll take them out the damn lineup, the starting lineup, man. And this is why I think some owners like this analytics, because then they don't have this main superstar hitting all these home runs, or this somewhat lackluster. Somebody was not like, you know, okay, Shohei Ohtani, he's gonna be in the lineup no matter what, or as they say, as long as he feels comfortable, you know, he'll be in the starting lineup. You know, Aaron Judge, I get why he's in the starting lineup as well. Aaron Judge, he's a home run hitting star, whatever. But for the most part, a lot of analytical bullshit sometimes, they will sit guys. They will say, hey, you know what, we're going against a lefty. You're not good against lefties, or whatever the splits say, or if you're bat right, you're not good against lefties, whatever. Or vice versa. I forget sometimes. I get confused. I get confused on, like, what is what? Like, what's the right, the splits? Like, what, you know, I know if it's a lefty on the mound, oh, great, we got to play all righties, or we got to bat all righties, or find another, you know, it's all this crazy. So analytics will help do that. And thus, then we get mad when guys hit home runs, or when guys hit home runs when it's like 12 to nothing and a guy goes up there and fucking blasts a home run over the fence against some positional player who's pitching. Like I said, hey, motherfucker, you're a professional team, so if your guys didn't bring it, just prepare to get smashed on, you know? And that's that. What, you want guys to go up there and bunt so you guys can get them out all day? Guys not to swing so they can strike out? No, because it's all about stats. And the motherfuckers who say, oh, no, it's not, it's about team. No, it's not, because these guys get paid based on their stats. And, of course, you know, if they're a fan favorite in the locker room, maybe that's a factor, I don't know. But they get paid based off their stats. They get paid based off of how many hits they get, on-base percentage, war, wins above replacement, whatever the fuck that means. Home runs, runs batted in, hits, average, whatever you want to table in, it's all status. That's what they get paid for. That's how they're going to get a bigger paycheck. And so that's why I think, you know, yeah, it's a team sport. And like I said, if a guy, you know, is lucky to make the team, he's going to say, oh, I'm just glad to be here, coach. I'm happy to be part of the team. But after a while, when they see other guys and other teams being run different ways, they're going to say, how come I can't be in the starting lineup every day? How come I can't have what's my role here? Am I a platoon player or am I the starter? Is this my position and I get maybe only 2 days off a week instead of three or four or, you know? So that's the thing. And I think as me as a kid, I grew up watching, like, I vaguely remember as a kid, like I can say I was born in 88, so. As a kid, I remember all the superstars being in the lineup all the time, like Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. And I was always get mad, frustrated, like, what hell, Barry Bonds not in the lineup today, you know? I didn't like that. Or, like, I noticed, too, like, when I played video games, when the video games were becoming more advanced, like on PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1, sort of, like, you know what I mean? I noticed that they had two different lineups. A lineup for against righties and a lineup against lefties, you know? And then, of course, you know, the way the National League Baseball worked, they had pitchers batting, so they had a lineup with the pitcher in it, and then when they went to American League team, they had a designated hitter, you know? So, but I just noticed, and I get it, but, like, to me, as a kid, I just remember seeing the stars be playing all the time. Not a rest day, not available off the bench, which is fine. But just as, like, hey, man, they're in the fucking lineup. Hell yeah, you know? So that's the way I looked at it. Sorry about the silence. That was awkward. I was trying to, you know, like, moisten my mouth. That shit went, like, too long. But, yeah. So, I get it, man. Baseball's different. Football's different. But, so I just laughed, though, because we're talking about baseball now, even though I was talking about football. that goes on. And as fans, we get frustrated or we don't like the fact that a guy's making so much money. Or some fans, though. Or look, man, and it's funny. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, for instance, the Brewers. Christian Yelich, after he broke his kneecap and he had back tightness and all that, Christian Yelich, I remember a lot of people were pissed off the fact that he was making all this money but playing like shit. Which he was. He wasn't playing that great. He's barely stepping up his game this year. Early on this year, he wasn't. A lot of people said, oh, great, this is still the old Christian Yelich. He's not worth what we were paying him, you know, as a Brewer fan, as a Brewers team, which was a mid-market team, a small market team. So as you know, a lot of the payroll is going to Christian Yelich's, bank. But now this year, he's doing better, improving a hell of a lot more. His power numbers are still out there. I don't think, like, home run rise, but his average is way up, almost 300 or like 275, 2 something, and all that. And it brings me back to, like, imagine if the Brewers didn't re-sign Christian Yelich, they give him an extension or whatever the fuck they did, right? And he goes off and goes to another team, and he goes off, right? He's a good player, MVP candidate once again, all that good stuff. What would a Brewer fan say then? And me as a Brewer fan, I would say, damn, we should have just gave him a chance. So I'm happy that the Brewers gave Christian Yelich a chance. Of course, coming off his injury, we don't know how productive that has made him not be because of all this injury, the knee, the busted kneecap, and then his sore back all the time, or tight back, or whatever. So, anyway, man, so you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're not going to be able to please everyone. But just being friends with the ownership sometimes is like, man, but, you know, I get it. At the end of the day, if you, you know, brought prosperity to your company or brought a championship to your team, of course the owner is going to like you for the most part, unless you had some falling out with this owner or ownership team before you won or after you won. But, like, to me, sometimes I just laugh, but I get it, you know. First world problems versus third world problems versus second world problems. So, but, yeah, man, so, you know, you got to do what you got to do. As you can tell in the NFL, they're not trying to play running backs, which running backs is a position we get dinged up the most, for the most part. Wide receivers used to take nasty hits, but ever since they made the game more, quote-unquote, safer, whatever you want to say, you can't hit a running receiver, but, you know, defensive backs can still get laid out by big linemen and shit if that happens, you know. That's okay. But yeah, man, so we'll see what happens in the NFL. Obviously, there'll still be great running backs coming out of college because they'll just get in where they fit in. You know, if you want to play running back, you just know the NFL, you're only probably going to get one payday, or you got to be like fucking Derrick Henry, a monster, fucking straight monster. Gonna be you overused and abused. That's what the bad part is. You're gonna be overused where your ass is gonna be fucking worn out. So get your shit in shape. Running backs now, call high school running backs, college running backs now. Now you see what owners are doing to running backs, what general managers are doing to running backs in the NFL. You gotta open up your eyes and say, all right, maybe I should get staying more in shape. Make sure I'm limber, make sure I don't get hurt. Because once you get hurt, they'll bury you for that shit. And that's the fucked up part, but I get it. It's a business. And it's what have you done for me lately, not what have you done for me internally, you know, like forever. So, but just got to stay positive. If you know your abilities, just don't play these games with these contracts. And I get it, this franchise tag, which a player, you know, when the players ratified their contract agreement with the owners, they agreed to have this fucking franchise tag thing. That shit is keeping players from moving. I noticed that, man. I don't like that because the players, after they fulfill their contract, especially their rookie contracts, you know, if they don't get re-signed, if they can't work out a deal, right? And that's how I go back to this fucking sign a one-year deal then. You know, but, you know, some of these motherfuckers want to pay. They want to go make you go on we're going to franchise tag you, man. So you got to show up, even though you don't want to be there. Even though you don't want to work there no more for them. If you felt like they're disrespecting you, or you felt like you didn't quite earn it because you'll be fucking doing dumb shit still. So you didn't really earn that money or, fuck, what's it slipped my mind right now, what I was trying to talk about right there. You know, like, you know when somebody has gotten stuff they know they kind of deep down don't really deserve to get, so they kind of feel guilt about it. But I get it, money's money, man. So if the owner's going to offer it to you, you should take it. But just make sure you know what you're signing, guys. Shout out to Lamar Jackson. He you know, he's his own agent. Some people say you should get an agent. I think we talked about this before. I went over this. I say, hey, if you can do your own thing, do your own thing. Because remember, agent gets 3% or 2% or 5%, whatever the fuck percentage they get from your money after you get paid, after taxes and all that. You have to give them some of your money. But again, agents supposedly are more inclined or know the language, the lingo, so they can get you a better contract. But I think, hey, it's your money, right? It's your business, your body. You're the one out there on the field. Just be there in the negotiating table and speak your mind. And I get it, because sometimes what not having an agent will do is kind of corrupt your mind, because you're so cool with this organization. You might give them that discount. You might take a deal that's not that great, but you think it's cool because you still remain with the team that picked you or a team that you like. And, you know, you're not hurting enough. You're not hurting the payroll so you can get other players. But the sad part is there's some organizations, i.e. the Green Bay Packers, that wouldn't do anything with money sometimes. And that's the way I'm going to put it. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers of the New York Jets now taking that pay cut. Obviously, he didn't take a pay cut with Green Bay. Is it disappointing? Yes. But we all know why he didn't take a pay cut when he was with Green Bay. Is he didn't trust Gutekunst. And why would you? Because they never got him any help anyway. So why would you trust Gutekunst, you know? If I'm going to take a $15 million pay cut and I give the team $15 million and there's no guarantee that they're going to go get me help or $30 million, whatever the pay cut he took, why would I do it? And if you know the way the organization or that general manager works, why would you trust them, you know? So I get it. Some people still don't like that reasoning. They feel like Rodgers is changing or being different with the Jets. Of course, it's a new place, a new home, and he's more comfortable there, or he likes whoever he's liking, he likes working with, you know? But yeah, man, that's what I wanted to discuss about, is just the fact that sometimes players, I feel, get too close to owners. But I get it. Again, I'm not there, so I get there's a relationship built, especially if the owner talks to them or, you know, is joking with them or whatever. But what I just wanted to bring up, too, is what cracks me up is the fact that sometimes players don't want to be in a situation no more. You know, like, they don't want to play for that team, even though they signed an extension like 2 years ago. So that's the problem. I get it. Get your money, man. That's why. That's why sometimes. And I get it. That's why sometimes these guys will sign the extension. Because they're getting. Sorry about that. They're getting contract extension, guys. That's why they signed that. They're getting the money. So that's why they signed that extension so quick. Because they're getting a little bit more money up front. And signing bonuses and all that. But then that's why some people question, saying, oh, why are you signing a contract if you don't even want to play for us no more? Why did you sign it? Because at the time, the deal seemed good. At the time, the money was good. So they took the money and tried to run with it. And now they're stuck with an organization that's not, they don't feel welcomed, or they don't feel like whatever that player wants to feel like, you know. But that's it for that for now, man. Let's go to the next score. Hey, what's up? Back to another segment of this episode. It's going to be a late upload, y'all. A late upload indeed. But first of all, what I want to get into, what I want to talk about, you know what's funny? Recently, I suffered from dehydration, man. Dehydration or heat exhaustion. Combine a combination of both, I think. That's my personal opinion. And you know what? Back in the day, like, I get it. Drink water. I was younger. So I was like, yeah, drink water, whatever. Do what you gotta do. But it's funny because I'm not trying to make an excuse. Like, it kind of clicks into the sports. I remember playing sports in high school and how that fucking water, man, like, when you're doing exercise or you're practicing for football, doing the fucking two-a-days on that summer heat and shit, and even during the season, like, even the after, you know, sixth period, This is how my school did it. It was sixth period. That was your sports. Whatever sports you picked, that's what normally you'd go to. You know, and that's why I like football. I never understood all the other sports that would practice late or wouldn't practice during sixth period. I never understand that. I never understood that shit. Like, that shit confused me. You know, like basketball. But sometimes the basketball at my high school, the motherfuckers would practice late at night. They wouldn't even practice after school. I mean, they wouldn't practice, like, right after school. They would practice later on. I don't know. It was confusing. But I get it. I don't know. I didn't really, since I wasn't on those teams, I didn't understand the practice schedule. But, like, football. Yeah, for instance, you know, like, you know, you go, you do your thing, you're practicing. I don't give a shit if you're a starter. I don't give a shit if you, I guess, you're not a starter, a scrub, or whatever the fuck you want to call them. I don't care. Like, to me, like, when you're practicing, you're practicing. You know what I mean? You're going to put the most effort you can in. And I get it. There's fools who don't care. And I get that. You know what I mean? Especially during freshman year, usually a lot of people will go out for football, either because their parents want them to, their dad wants them to, their brother wants them to, their mom, or like I said, their parents. It's like they're encouraging them, do it, man, I did it, or, you know, yeah. And so I get, you gotta like it. If you don't like it, you might hate fucking being there. It's better than PE, but PE is easy too. But the reason why I say football, playing a sport is better than PE, because this sport, you're going to play, and hopefully you get the start, or if not, you get to play in the game. But in a way, you got to earn it. You know what I mean? You got to show that you either understand the concept of whatever position they're going to put you in, or you are a very, very hard worker, very hard. You got heart in it and all that. They'll play you, you know? My bag, I'm all yawning like a motherfucker. But, so, like, you know, anybody. So, like, you're hot, you're sweating, you're running. And I remember, man, I would be fucking just, not dreaming, but like, oh, I can't wait to fucking drink some fucking water out of them Gatorade bottles, man. Can't wait to get a squirt, you know, like a squirt out of the motherfucking Gatorade bottles, man. It's a trip because, you know, but I don't think I ever really dehydrated myself. So, I'm going to describe what happened to me. I think I dehydrated myself. And at first I thought it was my stomach just acting up because, like, it felt like my stomach was wringing out like a rag. Like, you know, you get a rag and you wring it out. Like, you know, you twist it and keep twisting until all the water comes out. That's the way my stomach felt at times. And that shit was painful as a motherfucker. Like, at random times it would hit. And I would have to stop what I'm doing. I had to, like, grab onto the steering wheel if I was driving. It just hurt, you know? I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, great. I told myself I gave myself a tummy ache or whatever. Or upset stomach. Because not 24 hours before. It wasn't even 24 hours yet, I don't think. I ate, like, a bunch of donuts that were, like, a day old. I think they're a day old donuts. I scarfed like 3 of them down. Not all at once, but like in under like a 30-minute period, I scarfed like 3.5 donuts down. You know? I was like, damn, that's, you know, fat motherfucker. And I was hot. So I was like, oh, great. I made my stomach upset. Because that's what it felt like. That's the way I describe it, because that's what I remember when my stomach was upset, too. Like, I remember when I was a kid. Both me and my brother, but we had like, I think it was Easter candy or some shit, and we just kept eating it and eating it. I think my mom and my dad said, you shouldn't be eating all that candy, you're gonna get a tummy ache, you're gonna mess up your stomach or whatever. And we just kept eating all this candy, and then bam, that shit fucking hurt. Ugh, you know, stomach was hurting. You know, restroom, running, going to the restroom, it wasn't pleasant, you know what I mean? So that's what I was equating it to. And then, my body was still warm, but hot and everything. And then I was like, man, what's going on, man? I don't really feel good. I don't know what's going on. I'm still hot. And it was kind of a hot day, Monday. And then I realized once I got home, slowly taking off my clothes, I still felt hot. And then I realized, oh shit, I wasn't sweating no more. Like, that's how you tell. I guess one of the signs is like your body stops sweating. Like, you stop sweating because you're dehydrated or whatever. So I was like, man, I'm not even sweating. What the fuck? And I'm all hot. And my stomach would hurt. It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't be nonstop pain. So that's what kind of made it like bearable. For me, it was just the fear of like restrooming myself, like shitting myself. Shitting myself. Like, if I'm out at work, I was scared that I was gonna poop myself, because, like, you know, after a while when you dehydrate, or it was like a mixed bag, because every time I drank water, I would have to use the restroom, and I would have to like shit, but it would just be like water coming out, you know, almost like that diarrhea water type shit, you know. And that's how I describe it. I was like, fuck, this sucks. And then I would think about it. Ugh, my bad, guys. Sorry. I was yawning again. And as I thought about it, I was like, damn it, man. I literally dehydrated myself because I wasn't drinking enough water. And I was outside working, or I was outside of the sun a lot. And that doesn't help at all. So, it was horrible, man. And what I mean by horrible, I mean it like, after I got home, I kind of didn't want to eat nothing. I was drinking more water and water, but it's like, you know, you're just replenishing. But like I said, as soon as I drank a lot of water, a lot of it wanted just to come out. Like, I couldn't hold no water in, really. And so I have to go sit on the toilet, and it all come out most of the time. And that gave, and then the same with food. As soon as I ate food, I would eat. I didn't hinder my appetite. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm nauseated, I don't want to eat nothing. I ate normal food, and boy, did I pay for that motherfucking shit. And what I mean by that was, I don't know, I think it was a mix of that. Because, like, you know, like, I don't know. Okay. I've had an issue before. I ate hot links. I don't know if you guys had hot links before. I've had hot links, and I had to cook them myself. So I thought I cooked them all the way. As far as I know, I did. Oh my goodness, man. That was a horrible experience, because I ate the hot links, right? And then I remember we had to go to the bank, stop at the ATM. It wasn't that far from the house, maybe like 5 miles, whatever. I don't know the mileage, but yeah, it wasn't that far. So we're going, and then all of a sudden, oh my goodness. Like, I cooked the hot links, and I thought I cooked them right. So, because the way how everything went down was, man, did I have to use the restroom bad, like the runners, man. Like, that was like, oh my God, you got to get to the toilet, because that shit is going to explode out of you. And soon as I went to the Ralphs, I ran all the way to the back. And I was like, I hope there's no code on the restroom, man. And there wasn't. Oh, my goodness. Sat on that toilet. And well, bam. But that shit burned when it came out of me. Burned, motherfucker. Like, ooh-wee. That shit was not a good feeling, you know. And so, when that happened, man. So, and that was just eating. And again, that was my first time making hot links. My first time eating a hot link that I can remember. And that shit burned coming out of me, man. So I don't know if I didn't cook it right, or it didn't agree with me, or whatever. So again, same feeling happened to me again while having the dehydration runs, or like just it burned like a mother. It wasn't like normal diarrhea burn. If you ever had diarrhea, I guess, I don't know, like that acid burn. This shit was like stinging my ass, man. I'm sorry, man. I mean, like I said, we all adults, so I ain't tripping, you know. I mean, if you're not an adult listening, I bet you this happened before to kids too, you know, when kids, like babies get diarrhea and shit. That shit burns, motherfucker. But in test, it, like I said, all the stuff that you put inside your body. So my dumbass, that day, after I got home, and I was still kind of like trying to, I know, like everybody said you should take a shower, and I was like, man, I didn't want to, because I was going to go to work because I have like an overnight job. So I usually like to just go to sleep and then take a shower when I wake up. So then everything's cool. That's like my start of my day. So my ass is being stubborn, didn't want to take a shower. And then, you know, so my body temperatures kept staying at that, you know, or warm temperature, whatever. And so, you know, I forget, I didn't really eat nothing until we ate dinner. So for dinner, I had some carne asada fries, and you know, had guacamole, and then I put some hot sauce on it. And then I had a bean and cheese burrito, and I put some hot sauce on that motherfucker too. Well, you know, after a while, like I said, I ate all the fries, most of all the fries, and I ate the bean and cheese burrito. And then, you know, I had to use the restroom. Oh, my goodness, man. That was horrible. That burned my butt, too, man. That shit was... And I was like, man, this is what you get for fucking putting fucking, you know, salsa on it, you know? Because, like, it wasn't pico de gallo. It was a salsa. So, but it was a little bit watery. So, you know, like, if your body is excluding or secreting the water out of you, guess what? It's gonna be some spicy ass water because that's what you know what I mean? So I was like, oh my god, that shit was burning. And like, it was horrible, man. Like, being dehydrated sucks. And this is my first run in with it knowing that I was. Like, after the fact, though. And I didn't know as it happened because I didn't really think of it. And like I said, I thought it was because I fucking was a fucking pig eating a bunch of donuts and shit, you know? A bunch of sugar. So that's what I thought happened to me. And, fuck, man. And don't mess around with that shit, man. I guess since I'm older, I know I'm a little out of, I know I'm out of shape, but I don't think it has something to do with being dehydrated. I think anybody can get dehydrated. Athletes get dehydrated, all sorts of people. So it doesn't matter. You can be fat, skinny, in shape, out of shape, super athletic, fucking, you know, all that shit. You can still get fucking dehydrated, you know? And, I would just say, man, make sure you fucking hydrate out there, man. Wherever you at, I know it's like summertime for the most part over here in the west coast of California, United States, California, what's up? You know, but wherever you are around the world, whenever it's hot or even when it's gloomy, just hydrate, man, because you don't want to dehydrate because that shit is painful. It's a long process to recovery. If you just go to the doctor, they're going to put some IV in you that will hydrate your ass up real good, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you can't go to the doctor, you can't afford to go to the doctor, you're going to have to drink up, you know, drink some water, and it slowly replenishes you, man. And most of the time, you're going to either poop it out or pee it out, because it's depending on how much water you take, and if it's room temperature or cold, whatever, it's not going to all stay in you, so... Try not to dehydrate yourself. And I guess, you know, because I have ADHD. And I didn't know it was a thing, an issue. Like, having ADHD, I guess there's a symptom where a lot of people who have ADHD forget to drink water. Like, it's not something that processes in their head, I guess, saying, oh, this is important. So I'm not blaming that. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I'm like, maybe that's why. I don't think nothing of it sometimes. And I do catch myself because I do have water bottles when I'm at work. And sometimes I'll just leave them behind. And after I do my, you know, my work, then I'll come drink the water bottle. I wouldn't take it with me. Or it just depends, you know. So that's to trip me out. That you know, I only saw this after watching, like, a bunch of, like, Instagram posts about ADHD, and then, of course, the funny memes and the funny videos about people having ADHD, and they fucking don't drink water until after their medication wears off, and that could be 12 hours later, you know what I mean? Of course, but you're drinking other things. I'm not saying, like, you don't drink nothing at all. Like, I'm not saying I ain't drinking fucking soda or fucking Kool-Aid or, you know what I mean, or stuff like that, just drinking water in itself, like, if we're not eating nothing, we probably won't drink no water. But unless, like, of course, if you're in, like, a physical activity or your work is real laborious, you'll get water if the water's there to act, it's real accessible, you know? But, forgive me, guys, I had to take my ADHD medication. You know, welcome to the robot side. That's like, so that shit sucks, man. And I'm gonna keep it real. I remember my dad would always tell me, drink water. You gotta drink water. You don't want to dehydrate out there, son. And you know, and I love my dad. You know, back in the day, like I said, my dad was there for me as a kid. I got married at a young age. Got married, I guess, 18. So, you know, I started my own thing, and, you know, I moved out. So, you know, I guess, and that's, you know, as soon as you move out, you know, that's when you say you're a man now, you know. So it's a little bit different. But my dad was very loving, caring, and all that. So I can't say he wasn't. So I was thankful and grateful for that. And I would always say sometimes, Dad, I don't need to drink water, you know, just to, like, carry on the conversation sometimes. And damn, I remember, man. I would remember fucking my dad would pick me up at school sometimes, and I'd be asking him all the fucking questions all the time, like sitting in the passenger seat saying, "Dad, why is this? Why is that?" And then he would usually tell me, like, keep talking, and it's a trip, man. Love you, Dad. Love you when you're out there, but it just trips me out. But yeah, and I remember he always telling me, I drink water, you don't want to dehydrate because it's very uncomfortable. And it's not, man. So I feel for all the people out there that don't, that, you know, even the athletes out there, man, if you're dehydrated and you're trying to play a game, I understand the pain. Now, at first, I'm not going to say, like, I thought that shit was, oh, you're a little bitch if you leave the field dehydrated. Nah, that shit's painful. And especially, like, you're playing football and you're dehydrated and you're getting the stomach pains and shit and the weak legs. That's the way I felt too. My body, my legs did feel a little weak. And then I had those stomach pains. But the stomach pains weren't like I said, it wasn't like lasting straight. Like I wasn't getting straight stomach pain the whole time. It would come and go. So then I'd be like, okay, I'm good now. I'm good. And then bam, randomly it'll hit. And I'm like, fuck. So I kind of understand even more now. Some athletes, you know, women, whatever, you know, like, anybody who gets that shit, being dehydrated sucks, and then it does affect you, man, because then, like I said, I wasn't able to keep, my bad, guys, yawning and shit, I wasn't able to keep nothing that, like, food inside me, man, like, as soon as I was done eating, the beef jerky, like I said, it burned coming out, and it was mostly, and it all came out, like, the beginning, it was like, like water out of a bucket, man, mixed with a little bit of solid, and I was like, ooh, damn it, man, this sucks. And then after that, it was like, okay, back to back to like not the normal again. And I remember that's, I ate that. And reason why I kept like trying to eat to try to get it back to normal. And so the following day I didn't go to work or nothing like that. I had a call out. And then we ended up going to, I was drinking a lot of water overnight and all that. But then we ended up going to go to like his pizza place. I wanted to try. And we got some pizza. I ate a Caesar salad. I did drink some soda. I did have some Dr. Pepper. But I did drink water in between, you know, because I was like, fuck this, I ain't drink water now, too, you know. Like, I ain't just trying to just drink soda or nothing. Nah, it's water. That's all together. And now I usually try doing this when I drink. If I know I'm going to be drinking, I would be like, drink. And then water, and then drink again, and then water, and then drink again. Usually. But then sometimes, you know, I'll just drink a couple more and then drink some more water, you know? Water will always be in the rotation. That's what I'm drinking. But, so, yeah, you know, I ate a sandwich. But the funny thing, again, the sandwich had, like, guacamole in it, guacamole, whatever. I don't know. Like, I think it's that same shit the fucking, Tony Soprano like to eat gobbledygook, or whatever the fuck it's called. I think it had some sweet onions, or like, I don't know, it wasn't spicy, but the meat was like, it had salami. The meat was kind of spicy. This had a little spice to it, nothing too like burning. Now that I'm burning my mouth, but again, like I said, it had some spice to it. So keep that in mind. All right. And so after, you know, and the pizza, I think it was some extra Parmesan on there. And it was just pepperoni. Parmesan cheese mozzarella. It was good. It was decent pizza. I'm not saying it was bad. But, you know, I liked it. And again, I ate the sandwich. My wife gave me some of her sandwich. And that was that. And then again, I had to use the restroom. We went to go pick up my son out of work. And my wife wanted to take me to, she needed to go shopping for some stuff. And she wanted me to go. But then, of course, the little one wanted to stay home, wanted to go home already, my youngest. And my oldest wanted to go with her anyway. So then I was like, you know what? I told her, just fuck it. Just take me home. I got to use the restroom anyway. So just take me home and I'll be with the little one. And she's like, okay then. So that's what happened. You know? And took me home. Went to use the restroom. And damn it, man. That shit burned again. And it wasn't like diarrhea. Like, you know what I mean? Because I get it. Like, if you have diarrhea or have that has that burning sensation anyway. This shit, I'm telling you, man. It burned, man. Like, oh my God. I was like, why is it burning so damn much? You know, I was like, man, it couldn't be the sandwich I ate, but yes it was. I guess it was, man. So, that being that, again, it kept happening. Ate some more later on. It kept happening again. So the moral of the story is this, man, just fucking, you got to know when to drink water. It's just best is to drink water every day, man, if you can. I get it. Some people don't like drinking water. Some people forget to drink water. Some people like putting those, like, flavored packs in. That's cool. You know, whatever works, as long as you're staying hydrated out there, man, because at first, like I said, I knew the symptoms. And all that, but I was like, nah, I don't really happen to me, man. Drinking enough water or drinking enough liquids. But what my fucking body was telling me was like, yo, man. My stomach is like, hey, man, where the fuck is water at, man? And I was like literally going, where's the water at, you know? So, and then that's like I said, then it's hard to keep any water in. You'll just start peeing it out or pooping it out. Because your body is like, it's don't, and then, you know, that's the way. It's not scientific what I'm talking about. But I know what I'm talking about. Like, I try to describe it, like, your body starts to go, like let's let in all this water out your ass, you know? Like, fuck. And, man, that was horrible. Slowly getting over it. And, went back to work already. But it's a painful process, man. And it's a lesson learned. Because, like I said, and then, like, nothing, you can't really enjoy anything. Because then you can't really, like, oh, yeah, you called out sick from work. But guess what? You got to make sure you're close. You either stay your ass at home because you don't want to get no, you know, you don't want no accidents to happen when you're on the streets and shit, you know? So it's not like, yeah, you got a day off. Nah. And like I said, being dehydrated is not a great thing, not a great feeling. And heat exhaustion, too. I think I got a little bit of both. Didn't go to the doctor, but like I said, I know when you do go to the doctor, they do give you IVs. To get you hydrated faster and more stable faster. But I just wanted to talk about that, man, because that was the first time I went through it knowingly. Because I think, you know, it happened to me, the funny thing is it happened to me a couple weeks back as well, where I had heat, I believe I either had heat exhaustion, so I was in the restroom a lot, using the restroom and all that, but this time it really hit me. Where you take a step back and be like, yeah, I think this is what just happened to me. And it's like, fuck. It's a simple remedy. Like I said, I'm grateful and lucky, thankful that I do live in a nation where water is, you know, usually one from tap water. I can get decent water from a tap. You know, if I'm not that desperate, fuck, I drink water out of the goddamn water hose. You know, that I live in a nation like that. And I'm grateful for that. You know, the infrastructure's sound enough where we can do that. Water's not scarce enough where, you know, people, and I do work at facilities that offer drinking fountains and water and shit like that. So I get it. I know back in the day it used to be worse and all that, so I ain't complaining. Just one, you know, like I said, one of the things to be grateful about. No doubt, you know? So, that being said, I think that's it, man. Stay hydrated out there, man. It's great sports talk. And it's something the kids got to, you got to do it, man. And I get it as a coach. Sometimes you don't want them to get, you don't want to get waterlogged either, man. You start filling up your belly with water, and then you get that water gut. Like, you get that, oh, my belly's full of liquid, you know? And that's not good either, because then it slows you down. It makes you kind of like, ugh. Like, yeah, and then most of the time it's still in your belly. It's not going throughout the body replenishing it, I guess. I don't know how to say that. But, you know, yeah, it's all in moderation. All in moderation, I would say. So you don't make yourself sick and all that, you know. Because that can happen, too, where you start filling up your belly. It's all full of liquid. And you're kind of just like, ugh. Almost like eating too much, but it's just too much liquid. It happens to me with Kool-Aid, man. When I used to drink Kool-Aid a lot, man, I can drink a bunch of that shit. And I would get, like, my stomach would get, like, full. And I'm like, ugh. And now I can't even drink Kool-Aid, man, without, I think I talked about this. I can't drink Kool-Aid with sugar. Like, that shit knocks me the fuck out. Like, if I drink, like, a bunch, like, maybe, like, a cup, like, 16 ounces or 20 ounces of Kool-Aid. With the, you know, made with normal sugar. I don't care how many scoops you put in. You put 3 or 4 or 6, whatever. That shit knocks me the fuck out, man. Like, I'll drink some, and the next thing you know, I guess it's because it's too much sugar. So that's how I know. I am pre-diabetic, so that's how I know it's kind of bad. And that, you know, you're getting to that point where, you know, I don't know, man. And like I said, ADHDers, I've seen the concept where ADHDers, like, we can, if we drink caffeine, we can still go to sleep on it. Like, you know, like a Red Bull or an energy drink. We can still go to sleep. I guess, at first I didn't understand it. I thought it meant when I used to see those videos about ADHDers, like people who have ADHD, like if they drink an energy drink and it shows them sleeping, I thought that meant like it did the opposite to us. Like putting on an energy drink made us knock out, and that's not true. What the video was trying to display was to show you that, hey, drinking an energy drink, to a normal person doesn't have ADHD. They stay up and they're kind of like on it until it wears off. But for somebody who has ADHD, hey, they can drink an energy drink. They can use it what it's for, but they can still go to sleep while on it. So that's the funny part. That's the funny part, you know? And so, yeah, man, that's the thing I would say. Just stay hydrated out there. If you're diabetic, stay away from the sugar. Stay away from all that. You know, I get it, man. Believe me, man. The taste of, like, Dr. Pepper, the taste of real, like, sugar soda is way better than the zero calories, zero sugar and all that. But you got to stay away from that shit, man. Believe me. Or just do it in moderation. If you're going to drink, you're going to drink a little, like, a 6-ounce cup. Or 8-ounce cup, or a red cup. That's it. I think a red cup, 16 ounces though. And then that's it, dog. You can't be drinking no more. You can't be eating no more. But that's the problem, because there's sugars in everything, like natural sugars, sugars in breads and shit. So, but it's not a lot. So yeah, you can't make that shit go over. Because you go over, man, going over being diabetic is horrible. Being diabetic also, you can also dehydrate yourself, and that's horrible as well. On top of the no sugar feeling. And so you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful out there, man. So I guess that's it, man. Great sports talk. Just the owners of the NFL not paying running backs. I get it. These motherfuckers, like I said, more power to you. However you got your money, if you were born into that or you earned it, i.e., you know, doing investments, working your ass off, whatever rich people say. I worked my goddamn ass off for this. You know, going to school, making the right money moves, whatever, man. And then you become a millionaire, billionaire, whatever. And now you own, a team. Stop being so fucking cheap, man. And I get it. In football, they don't want guaranteed contracts. Because somebody was arguing, I think it was a shout out to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of AM 1250, WSSP 1250 AM in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a local, it's a sports radio show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I used to have a lot of local programming, but some big boss thought it was cool just to fucking end their local programming. So Steve Sparky Pfeiffer survived the whole let go of almost every all the talent they had there. But he's a cool guy. And the reason why I started listening to that station because they talked about the Green Bay Packers. I'm a Packers fan, and then I slowly became a Brewers fan because of Tim Allen and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and all them. The Brewers postgame show, man. Tim Allen still hosts it. It's not Tim Tool, the Tool Man Taylor Allen, though, all right? and he still hosts it, but he's now basically on their competitions radio station now. And I bring him up because I think he said that he feels like sports is backwards when it comes to guaranteed contracts. He feels that football players should have guaranteed contracts. Baseball and basketball shouldn't. And he believes that hockey players should have guaranteed contracts as well. And what that means is guaranteed contracts, all that means is that it means that the player is guaranteed that money no matter what. So like in baseball, if I sign on a dotted line, 13-year, whatever amount, I have to get $5 million or $25 million a year for 13 years. And then I only play 8 of the 13 years. Guess what? You still owe me that money because it's guaranteed, you know. So football, they say they want football to be different, or they don't want to guarantee it. But in a way, I get why the owners do this, because they don't want to be on the hook like baseball is, like the Bobby Bonilla day. Bobby Bonilla, but Bobby Bonilla, what he did was he just agreed to take money later on. So what some of these sports organizations do, basically Bobby Bonilla is paid a $1 million from the New York Mets every year in, I think, August or July, because he deferred money. He deferred so much million. So basically when he deferred it, he said, look, you can keep paying me $1 million a year until the year 2035 or some shit. So he's on the Mets payroll, but he no longer plays baseball at all. And so that's guaranteed money. That's what guaranteed money gets you. So then on the other base, football owners, they don't want to guarantee nothing, because I get it. Like in my mind, and I get why. It's because they know football is a more physical sport. All it takes is one random shitty ass move to happen, and boom, fool broke his knee off, you know, fucked up his back. Look at what happened to the Buffalo Bill player. Fucking his heart stopped. You know what I mean? It's not a joke, but that shit was crazy. His heart stops and he can die on the field. So that's why these fucking owners don't really have your back, because they don't want to pay you. They don't want to pay you if they're not getting nothing out of you, which is fair. I get it. But again, it's not a regular job, guys. We need to stop comparing it to. It's not regular. So you can't be like, oh, yeah, why should he get paid if you're not getting anything out of him? And that's not true. If that person's a star player, a good player, decent player, and I get it. Some of the third stringers or fools who are not so famous or whatever, are not, they should be treated the same as well. And I get it. The superstars are going to get more money. We all know that. I'm not disagreeing with that. To me, it's kind of a stupid system they have set up. But they'll look at that and be like, superstar, like whatever, fucking Aaron Rodgers or what's his name? Justin Herbert, fucking San Diego Chargers fucking quarterback, right? You're getting money off of the merchandise alone. All his jerseys he's selling, all, you know, sports cards and all that. I don't know. Yeah, I think the team's getting a cut of that shit too. But, well, yeah, all the jerseys, all the merch he's helping you sell by just being on a team, you know. But I guess it goes as more directly to anything related just to him. Pictures of him, you know, a t-shirt jersey, a real jersey, whatever, you know. So, but still, they're still making money. You know what I mean? You're still making money because now this person. So, look at all Aaron Rodgers jerseys that probably a bunch of people who support Aaron Rodgers are buying a bunch of Jet jerseys, you know. So, that's why it's a funny thing. And that's why these owners don't want to guarantee football player money. Guarantee football players any money because they know that can happen. They're afraid that, hey, I guarantee this guy. Next thing you know, he fucking breaks his leg or he does some stupid shit off the field and he can't even play for us, but I still have to pay him. And yeah, that's just right. You still have to, you know. But, you know, the whole ins and outs of it, man, it can be very, not deceiving, but it can make you feel like, oh, I fucked that guy. I'm not going to, they shouldn't pay him. And then the other's like, how can they don't, you know what I mean? It can be fair. It can be not fair. But to me, football player owners, for the most part, they just want to give it a, they want to get all the cheap talent they can get out of you. And then next thing you know, they say, oh, no, you don't deserve that. Go, maybe try to go find it on the next team. And that's a problem if these teams are colluding, which I kind of believe they are. And then I kind of doubt they are because, to me, at the end of the day, playing professional sports is all about winning. And I get it. The highest bidder is willing to pay a lot for the same guy that you're only paying this much for. So that's why certain teams, they get real fat and real like, oh, man, that fool's going to buy a Super Bowl, you know, or buy a championship because they can afford all the talent. So I understand why that happens, too. But that's why I don't think they're ever going to guarantee a football player money. I know they did it for Deshaun Watson, the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. All his money's guaranteed, and I guess all the owners hated the Browns owner for doing that. But to me, it's like, who gives a shit? Because the owner can do whatever the fuck they want to do. And then, but the only reason why the owners get mad at this owner is because, oh, man, look what you did. You guaranteed this fool money. So even if he doesn't play good or doesn't play for you, you have to still pay him all that money. Like, who cares, man? You can do what the fuck you want to do. Are you an owner or are you a little bitch? Fucking, are you your own man or are you a little bitch, you know, fucking influenced by the big dogs because the other big dog owners because your ass, you know, is too scared. No, if your ass made that move, stick to it. And that's how you're going to try to win your title, your team's title, and that's the way it goes. So, but that's it, guys. Hope you all enjoyed the podcast. As always, thank you for exploring the arena we call life with your homie, Arena Vincent. It's a 365 production. Hello. But that's it, y'all. Like I said, link in the description to my YouTube channel. Check out my YouTube channel. It's Arena Vincent. All one word, all capital letters. Check me out there, and that's it, and that's all, y'all. Until next time, make sure to write a review, thumbs up, whatever it takes to make you like this episode of the podcast. I think I was kind of rambling on towards the end, y'all, so I do apologize. I'll take a little nap, right? Until next time, guys. Peace!